Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Tamaño de la porción.
Are you taking a Spanish class right now or something?
No. Just a can.
You're just... Oh, you're off-brain, Dr. Pepper.
Tamaño de la porción.
I have no... What is that? What is that actually?
Serving size.
That's not what I expected it to be. I expected it to be something like an ingredient or something.
That's way cooler, though.
It does sound way cooler, you're right.
Agua carbonatada.
Welcome back to Starcast Echo Marks, the only Dallas Stars podcast. Along with Chris Chambers, I'm Brian Chambers, and we are back.
How day?
It's been a while, Chris. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastically.
Just had to add the L-Y at the end there?
Yes, that emphasizes its emotion.
Fantastically, so that means you're just extra fantastic?
I am extra fantastic because the Aggies beat the Gators, and...
That was a lucky fumble at the end of the game.
Hold on, I'm trying to make us lose a portion of our audience, and the T-Sips lost to OU. What a great day.
That's going to be like a good 60% of our audience right there.
Great day in football today.
Yeah. Oh, at least LSU lost too, though, right? They lost to Missouri.
They suck. We already knew they sucked.
Yeah, the defending national champions.
Yeah, Texas still had a chance.
They suck. All right, Chris, let's get to actually what we're supposed to be talking about, which is all this Dallas Stars stuff.
Cricket.
So. Yeah, sorry about us being all non-existent for the past week and a half.
It was hard doing a podcast every other day for 2 months.
And we did it. And then after that game in game six, I just couldn't take it. That was just way too hard. And
lower your standards a little bit. There's like 50 of y'all watching.
Man,
chill out, guys.
Man, it was just extremely hard to watch. Just the faces of all the players afterwards. And knowing how beat up all of our guys were, which we'll talk about here in a second.
Yeah, but I made myself watch the trophy ceremony, too.
I didn't.
I watched it. I made myself watch the whole thing.
I watched until the fat lady started singing when that clock hit zero in the third period. And after that, I was just like, okay, turning it off. And I went into deep depression for 2 weeks. Yep. And... you know, after that game, there was a lot of stuff going on Twitter. And at least for the most part, what I noticed, there was a lot of good stuff that was being said. A lot of Stars fans understood the ramifications of this. They're away from their families, other than Justin Dowling and Corey Perry for that last little bit. And, you know, they're away from their families. They're in a place they're not as familiar with up in Edmonton. They're stuck with, you know, very minimal people. They're not allowed to be around anybody. And they gave every last little bit until their very dying breath. You couldn't ask much more from them. And especially game five. After game five, I just there was something in the pit of my stomach that was like, that's it. Because just with all the injuries that we had, we just couldn't we couldn't match it. Had too many injuries. It felt like the Colorado series, except this time we were Colorado.
Big sad.
All right, so let's just talk about all the injuries, and I mean it is a lengthy list.
Extensive.
Extensive is huge. Thank you for Matt DeFranks for making it kind of easy on us to find all the stuff. I mean, there's 13 players on this list.
That's a lot of players.
That's half of the starters for this team. So, all right. So first off, let's just get this. James, I'm just going to go through these and we can talk about these one by one in a second. All right. So Jamie Benn, he had shoulder surgery just before the pandemic. Blake Como had a separated shoulder. Jason Dickinson had angel and foot injuries. Roddick Fox had a broken, what did I say?
Angel.
Angel? I said angel and foot surgeries.
Ankle and foot injuries. Ankle and foot injuries.
And foot injuries. There we go. Fox had a broken wrist, where he said that. Roope Hintz had a fractured ankle and an injured hip. Tyler Seguin, who we all knew was hurt.
Turns out he was very hurt.
Very hurt. A torn labrum in his hip.
I don't even know what a labrum is.
It's extremely painful. I actually did a little bit of research on this one in particular because this was the injury that everybody was talking about during the bubble. And it turns out that he's going to have surgery on it to get it fixed, and he's going to be out for 4 months. So if you do the math, he's not going to be available for the beginning of the season.
Which is now January 1st.
Yes, which we now know
for those who do not know.
So that's what they're aiming for. At least that's what the commissioner said at the beginning of the NHL draft. So they're shooting for January 1st instead of December 1st, which honestly, I'm kind of glad they are because I think everybody realized after the playoffs were over that especially those two teams, the Lightning and the Stars, they needed a little bit more of a break rather than just.
Yeah, I'm due for a break too. Months. Goodness.
I know, we needed it. We were severely tired after all those games. Anyways, okay. So Tyler Seguin had a torn labrum in his hip, and he was playing through it every single game. He was never out. Taylor Fadun, he had a knee injury. Esa Lindell had an injured hand, and for some reason, the autocorrect on my iPad went when I spelled Esa, it went to C, like S-E-A. I don't know why. I hate autocorrect. Anyways, Ben Bishop had knee surgery back in May, and that's why he was basically unfit to play, except for those two games that he really screwed up. John Klingberg had an injured shoulder that happened in the round robin. So he was playing through the entire playoffs with an injured shoulder.
And playing great.
And Miro Heiskanen, and everyone, I noticed this, was saying that in the Vegas series and in the Stanley Cup Finals, he was not as visible as he was in the Calgary series and the Colorado series, and now we know why.
Yep.
He injured his hip in the Vegas series, and I think he said it was in Game 3 or in Game 4.
Tough to skate when your hip don't work.
Yeah, and then on top of all of this, our goalie, Anton Khudobin.
He couldn't feel his hands.
He couldn't feel his hands. And somehow he lived.
Maybe that's the secret.
And we all knew how beat up this team was, especially game 3, game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals. But I did not realize that it was this bad. Did you think it was this bad?
I had no idea about Klinger and Miro. No clue. I thought Hintz was hurt. We knew Fox was hurt at the end. We knew Seguin was hurt. I didn't realize it was that bad. I almost wish he didn't skate on that. But I'm glad it's not. He didn't re-injure it or anything. Ben always has a problem. Bishop was super shocking because that happened in May is what I heard. So
yep,
the NHL went into lockdown and he said, well, I guess now's a good time to go ahead and get that surgery over with. And so
and
he did it,
like,
and then,
psych,
oh,
we're
going to play hockey now. And it's like, well,
RTP,
I'll try. and it didn't work. But so that's why I think that's why that the nature of that injury was so weird, because it was confusing, right? It's like, how is he able to play but not? And that's right. Why he was recovering. He could move, but not the way he could before.
Right.
So that's why it was so weird. It just answers all those questions, like why Sagan was so slow, because his hip was whatever that
he couldn't skate
weird
right.
word was. Yeah, he can't skate.
A torn labrum.
Whatever a labrum is, but
it's a very specific part of the hip that is just, it's crucial, especially to skating more than anything.
Yeah. So it just makes the run even more fantastic in my mind.
Yeah.
Because
really
if you
does.
Think about, like, there was only two injuries on that list that happened in the final round, right? Yeah.
Yep.
That's nuts. So, yeah. That's just awesome run, especially now seeing how banged up they were. But I think at the very least, that just shows the guts that this team had and how much they sacrificed for our enjoyment. Yay, hockey. Well,
and then when you really think about it, when you look at the defense, our top four defense, and that was one of the big stories after Anton Khudobin being the biggest story. The next biggest story was our top four defensemen just absolutely killing it and doing really well. Well, out of the four, three of them were hurt.
Yeah. Woof.
And they were playing 20 plus minutes a night. And then Taylor Fadoon, who is playing on the third pairing, was hurt as well. And we just could not catch a break to save our lives at the end there. And you know, I got to give the full team full props for the incredible journey that they gave us. And, you know, not many fan bases can say they only have to wait for 3 months to see their team play again.
Yeah, that's never going to happen again.
And the Lightning. Us and the Lightning are the only teams that are allowed to say that. And I thought about that today when I was thinking about what we were going to talk about. There have been some teams, poor Jack Eichel, that haven't played in 10 months.
Yeah, that's
and
crazy.
It will be 10 months when the season, assuming the season starts January 1st. So.
Sucks to be them.
Yeah. So as much as it hurt to watch freaking Pat Maroon raise the freaking Stanley Cup, I hate that guy. We got to watch hockey. And that's what it's all about. It's the greatest sport in the world. And we were gifted with an incredible run. And honestly, I only think this makes us better. I'm kind of half and half, and you can agree or disagree with me on this, and to this question. Do you think that was it? That was the Stars' opportunity, and now we're just on the decline, kind of like the Predators were back in 2017, and now they're just on the downward spiral? Or do you think this just helps us, that's just the one extra step to get us to this Stanley Cup? What do you think?
I think it very well could be the last opportunity, but there's a reason we signed Pavelski to a longer contract than just 1 or 2 years, right? We're giving ourselves a window. But it kind of comes down to if Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin decide to play better than they did last year. Last year, they obviously did not play up to their contracts. So if they can find a way to get back to playing that way, to playing to their contracts, I think the window is definitely still open, especially if Hintz and Gurianov keep getting better. So I think lining up, getting our older guys playing the way they used to, and getting our younger guys playing to their potential could be where it lines up. But if Ben and Sagan have another year like they did this year, and they're just not great, then I think it's going to be the same. I think we'll be conference finals contenders, but I think a cup is tough if those guys keep playing the way they did this year.
Well, and all the rumors now, have you heard where Petro may be going?
Far away from the West?
No. I think conference finals. Vegas. Apparently. He met with Vegas today, so that would really suck for us.
Bad Vegas.
Yes, bad Vegas. Stop that.
No. Stop.
Stop. Oh, they traded Stastny out so that they can have
That's better than the Blues, I guess. You don't have to play him five times.
Yeah, but freaking Torrey Krug signed with the Blues. Torrey Krug.
Krug Schmoog. That's what I have to say to that.
All right. All right, so let's close the book on the postseason. As much as I hate to say it. Done. Door slammed. All right, let's talk about the NHL draft. All right.
We got Barroquay.
I freaking hate you. You're doing it freaking on purpose. So with the first round pick for the Stars, 30th overall, the Stars selected Maverick Bork out of the QMJHL, which Neil is not really known for taking players out of the QMJHL. And a lot of people honestly thought, with how willing he is to go out there and select Russians and Europeans from other leagues across the seas, that he would take Paterka. But he didn't. He went with the safe pick, which was the Canadian out of Eastern Canada. So,
which is shocking. Yeah, especially for the way Neil has drafted in the past.
Right. He is a big, firm believer of just take the best player that's available regardless of what you actually need or not. Which, yeah. in a way, it does make sense. Because, when you look at certain teams like, I don't know, Toronto. So, Toronto is very what? Offensive or defensive heavy?
Well, very offensive heavy. I'm getting grilled here.
Yes, very offensive heavy. So, they traded Andreas Johnsson today to kind of get some more of those bottom six kind of guys and to relieve some cap. So it's not always that you just pick the player that's best in the position that you need right then and there. And I'm kind of glad they did it that way because that they've been doing it that way. But this was a very safe pick for Jim Neal and the Stars.
Yeah, I am a little worried about his skill ceiling that we have here. So the main things that I've read about him is that he's a good playmaker. So he's got a heck ton of assists, especially this past season. He had 42 assists in 49 games played, which that's a lot of assists. So he's a pretty good passing boy, but he's also only 5'11 and only weighs 185 pounds. So he's not exactly the most athletic specimen that we've ever seen. But, I mean, if he's a great puck possessor, I mean, I guess he could be good. I'm just worried that he's not going to be up to NHL caliber quick enough just based on size alone. Because if you're a bigger guy, it's easier to get you up there. That's why Nichushkin was able to come play with us so quick. Like, he was big and strong, but this guy is pretty much the opposite.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of players that have been small that have done really well in the NHL. The one that really sticks out in my mind is Martin St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, it's easier to be good in the NHL when you're already big.
I will not disagree with you. That does help a ton. But, and I know that the trend in the NHL is to go with guys that are 6 foot and above. I mean, I even think that the average height is going to go up in the next decade or so, maybe up to 6'2", 6'3". But those little guys can still play. Like,
he's not little. He's like the exact medium.
Well, no, he's considered small.
He is now? 5'11 is small?
Considered small in the NHL now. That's why he was waited on.
I wish I was 5'11".
So and here's another player that I know of because I watched the draft. I think it was either last year or the year before. But there is a Montreal Canadiens draft pick who is an American who came up through the United States National Development Program. And his name is Cole Caulfield. And, I mean, he's a tiny dude. I think he's like 5'8", maybe. I think I'm pretty close, maybe give or take an inch.
I am 5'8".
It's something like that. But the guy can score in his
draft year.
but he does a lot of things right. But what I'm basically getting at is, as good as Cole Caulfield is, he's better than Maverick Bourque, in my opinion. He has a higher ceiling than Maverick Bourque. And Caulfield will be on the Canadiens roster. I don't know if it's going to be this year, but definitely next year. But those little guys can score. They can. And Maverick Bourque, I think, is going to be one of those players for us.
Yeah, well, he's got a way to go. Let's see if he can work. Yeah, we definitely wouldn't be seeing him. Like, at best, he's here in 3 years, maybe. And that'd be with him working really hard and figuring something out. But
well, we know we said the same thing about Thomas Harley. And
it's been about 3 years.
I mean, other than the fact that we went out and got some other people, which we'll talk about in a second, he was slotted in to be in the Stars starting lineup before free agency started, before we went out and got this other guy. So
I'm bitter.
So Harley looked okay in the one game that he had in the bubble, but I just don't think he's ready. And honestly, I think more time at the AHL level being a top two defenseman will be better suited for him than being in the bottom pairing on the NHL team. Even though we obviously know he would rather be at the NHL level. But I feel like our top four is pretty solidified at this point. So, okay, anyways, so we totally got off track there with the NHL draft. But here's the other picks that we got. 123rd overall. So we didn't have a second or a third round pick because of previous trades that we had made. With our fourth round pick, 123rd overall, we took Antonio Stranges. I think I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. But what I've seen on this guy and on this kid is that he is one of the best skaters in the NHL draft this year. So I thought that was really interesting, considering that all the way in the fourth round, he's one of the best skaters, which kind of tells me that a lot of his other skills are very lacking and behind all of these other guys. So at 154th overall, we took a center named Daniel Lejungman. I have no idea how to pronounce that. At 162nd overall, we took Yevgeny Oksinkyuk. Try and say that 20 times fast. And then at 185 overall, we took a goalie, Remy Poirier. I'm just trying to guess at those names.
Yeah, that guy.
So I'll do more research on those guys, and we'll get back to y'all on that. But especially those top two, Maverick Bourque, he's not a flashy player. He's not going to be a flashy player that's going to skate around you and Nathan MacKinnon you or Connor McDavid you or anything like that. But he is a very solid guy who, like you said, Chris, is going to be a really good playmaker in the NHL, or at least he's slated to be that way.
Antonio Stranges definitely is the flashy player, though.
Yes, he definitely has the speed.
He's quick, and didn't he score a lacrosse goal?
He did score a lacrosse
goal. Yeah, he scored a lacrosse goal.
Sebastian Aho, yeah.
Yeah, so he is definitely a young kid who likes to make plays. So let's see if he could take that and channel it into some work, actually, and try and make the NHL. And then we might find a lucky pick down there if he could. I mean, his skill ceiling is really high. It's a risky choice because, again, this guy's even smaller. He's 5'10", and I think I read something that, like, he has the strength of, like, a 10-year-old child.
Oh,
I read that on one of the draft things. But the kid's got some skills, so if you want the Stars to finally draft a flashy player, keep your eyes on Antonio.
Well, but honestly, strength is something that can be taught, obviously, because they have a strength and conditioning coach.
Taught.
But,
lift heavy things, dude.
Right, that's basically it. So he just needs somebody to motivate him and get behind him. And, you know, maybe Rich Peverly can do that for him, the player development coach for the Stars. Or coordinator, not coach. Coordinator. Whatever.
He does something with those young guys.
Yeah, he does something. He's really good, apparently. So, okay, so we're, like, you know, flying through all this stuff because we've missed so much stuff. But
it's all happening so fast. It happened in, like, 2 weeks.
It had to. I mean, I had to. With the way everything was, you had the NHL draft, and then, like, 3 days later, you got free agency.
It's like the season never ended. Like, this stuff just keeps happening.
Yep.
Quiet,
lots
NHL.
Of stuff. Yeah, I keep watching the videos that Shannon keeps putting up, the hockey guy, and he's just like, dude, there's so much stuff going on. And we're not going to go over it all tonight, but we got a lot of trades to talk about and a lot of signings to talk about. So we'll talk about that another time. Put the scissors down, Christian.
Okay.
What the heck?
Scissors.
Why? Okay.
Keep going.
Okay. Yay! Okay. Free agency. We got to say goodbye to a couple players. Boo hoo. So we got to say goodbye to Matthias Janmark, as Chris does, the world's smallest violin. Gavin Bayreuther, who he just never got an opportunity here, and hopefully he gets his opportunity in with the Columbus Blue Packets. The Blue Packets. Why not Yellow Packets? Or Red Packets?
They're the Blue Jackets, and that rhymes with Blue Packets.
The Boo Packets.
That's
the
Boo-hoo Packets. Okay, keep going.
Okay, and then we have to say goodbye to our Lord and Savior, Corey Perry, unfortunately.
Poor guy.
I know. He's
gonna go try and get
some
bank.
So before we go on, we already mentioned that Bayreuther is gonna sign it with Columbus. Where do you think Janmark's going? You think he'll go back to Detroit?
I don't know.
Any idea?
No idea. He's gonna go somewhere where they will give him money.
So basically,
that's my hot take
anywhere.
For the day. Yeah, pretty much anywhere. Whoever will take him, that's where he will go. I don't see him as a very high sought after guy.
Well,
but,
I'm not saying
he's not good. He was a good bottom six guy, but I mean, dime a dozen.
Yeah, we talked about this so much with him, and Nil gave him chance after chance after chance after chance, and kept him around, and even after he had the injury-riddled season where he didn't play for a full year because of his injuries, he still kept him around, Nil did. And then he just proved more than anything, even in the bubble playoffs, he just could not finish.
Well, he's a scout's dream, right?
Right.
So a scout finds this guy, he's like, oh, this guy's not scoring, but he's playing great. But he keeps not scoring, so I mean, I guess it's not going to happen.
Well, and he played well with Pavelski.
Yeah.
Like, him and Pavelski had some chemistry going on.
Yeah, but guess what?
No finish.
He
no
didn't
goal.
Score, so I mean, he's the guy that always could be great. Hopefully he figures it out somewhere else, where we're not paying him for not scoring.
And I really hope Corey Perry gets... Oh, excuse me. I hope he gets another shot.
I hope he goes to the Eastern Conference, where we don't have to play him.
Right.
Because now that he's not on our team, I hate him again.
He can go to the Rangers.
Go play with the Rangers.
Go play with Lafreniere and Panarin and all that stuff. Okay. All right, so let's get to the stuff that we actually care about now, unfortunately, since we had to say goodbye to those three. We almost had to say goodbye to this guy. Mr. Anton Khudobin is returning to the Stars. Thank goodness.
What a wild ride, too.
I know, yeah.
As soon as UFA contract signing was open, it was such a crazy 2 hours. Like, he went to every team, and then he came back to the Stars, and he was like, fine.
Okay.
I'll stay.
Yeah, I know. If you go and read the article, there's several articles that are on. I think, like, Mike Hyka did one, Matthew DeFranks did one,
Dobby did an interview too, kind of talking about it. He's kind of hard to understand, but I mean.
One of the things that stood out to me the whole time is that he never wanted to leave. He never wanted to leave, and I don't think the Stars ever wanted him to leave either. But the thing that they had to be careful with is they had the money to re-sign him, maybe for a little bit more expensive than they wanted to, just given the fact of who they have to re-sign. Again, which we'll talk about in a second. But I think this is a pretty good cap hit. So he's signed for 3 years, with an average cap hit of $3.33 million. And for the first year, it's 2.5. And then for the second and the third, it's 3.75. So 3.75.
Yeah.
So, and then you and I were talking about this on off the air, but why is that second and third year so much more than the first year?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I love Dobby, but to be honest, I don't love this contract. But it is written in a way that helps the Stars more. So he's taking the first year with like $500,000 less than he will in the last 2 years. And that's obviously for the expansion draft coming up. The Seattle team, for those of you who don't know, will be coming in after this coming season. And then there will be an expansion draft where they can select one player from each team throughout the league. So they're trying to make it less desirable to take an expensive old goaltender. So they're trying to...
At three and three quarters mil
for 2 years at 36 years old. So they're trying to make sure that he doesn't get picked up by him. But for how expensive we're paying for a backup goaltender, I almost wish we had... Because I like Ottinger. I think he played in garbage time during the playoffs, but he played well. He's played well in preseason games that he's played in. I thought this was the time for him to get a chance. I'm worried that we're not going to give him a chance soon enough, which we have been known to do to goalie prospects.
Yeah,
like Jake Campbell. But
who else did we do? I think we did that with Desrosiers.
We're notorious for it, but
and we used to be really good about it, because you know, when you think about it, we had Ed Belfour, and he came in as a free agent. But after the free agent signing of him, who do we have after that? We had Marty Turco, and then after Marty Turco, who do we have? Mike Smith, and then it just
two really good goalies that came from our farm system,
right? And it seems just like ever since Mike Smith left and got traded to Tampa all those years ago, and I mean, now he's bounced around the league, but ever since he left, that backup role has been terrible until Dobby came here. So I am happy with this contract. I think we're paying him more for what he did rather than what he's going to do in the future. Would you say that?
Well, I do. Not really, even, because you're spending your money where it's most important. So in the NHL, the most important position is goaltending. Every
because
time.
It's the one position where you can steal the game.
If you win a Stanley Cup, you have a great goaltender. Vasilevsky played outstanding all playoffs. Dobby played crazy good. Lehner played awesome for Vegas. You're going to have a good goalie if you're going to go far in the playoffs. You're never going to win a Stanley Cup without a great goalie.
Well, and don't forget Varlamov. Varlamov looked good for most of it.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot. We could talk about, like, all seven of them that stole many playoff games. But now we have solidified the best goaltending tandem for 3 more years. Ben Bishop has 3 years left on his contract. We added Dobby for 3 more years. And if we can keep both of them through the expansion draft and they keep playing well, which I don't see any reason why they wouldn't, then we keep having the best goaltending in the league. So it's expensive for a backup goalie. Yes, obviously. But
look at what he did.
Look at what the position is. And I have to keep telling myself that, but
the only raise he got, which a lot of people were expecting him to go higher. Honestly, some people were saying he could go and get $4 million.
I think he could have.
And you know what? I bet you there were some teams that probably offered him pretty close to $4 million, an average cap hit of $4 million. But at the end of the day, he wanted to stay here in Dallas because he knows he doesn't have that much long left, and he likes the team here. He likes the people here.
And if you like free agents, keep voting red so that we keep our income tax low, because that brings so many guys. But honestly, though, do you remember the only reason we won the Radulov lottery was because our income tax was lower? We had the exact same offer as the Canadians. That was hilarious. So,
yep.
Vote Stars Hockey. Keep income tax low.
Low income tax. Okay.
Only for hockey. That's the only reason.
And then let me get to you about Jay Gottinger as well, because Jay Gottinger is still very young.
He's in a weird place now.
He's only... I disagree. He is the future of the star. He's supposed to take over. That's what's expected of him, right? Would you say that?
Yes.
When Bishop is gone, when Dobby is gone, he is expected to take over. Now, I think the best thing for his development, he is not a Carter Hart, okay? He's not a Carter Hart. He's not a Samsonov. He's not somebody that can jump into these roles as a younger goaltender. And typically, goaltenders don't, you know, they don't just get thrown in when they're 18. Even Askarov, who got, drafted at 10.
Ottinger's 21 now.
That's still incredibly young. So he's.
By the end of the 3-year contract, 24 years old, that's pretty old to be waiting behind guys.
But that's still, you could get 15 years out of him as a starter, assuming he gets to 40. At least 10 years, you would think, assuming he stays with the Stars from till the time he's 35. So he needs to be playing. And I know he will get some games, especially with how injury-riddled Bishop gets, and as great as he is, and Bishop will probably play something like 50 to 55 games, and then the backup would have played like 30 to 35, assuming we get a full 82-game schedule or whatever. But he can play way more at the AHL level and play 60, 65 games rather than half of that at the NHL level. And I know it's not as high a level as the NHL, but he can be relied upon as that number one starter, and that's what we need him for. I think Khudobin gets taken in the expansion draft if he plays just as well this year as he did in the playoffs and as he did in the regular season. I mean, regardless of his cap hit or whatever, and because we have to protect Bishop, right? His MNC is there. His no movement trait, no movement clause. So we have to protect him. So I'm going to disagree with you on the fact that Ottinger should have been given the chance.
You think Dobby is bait and that he's gone after this year?
I don't think they're using him as bait. I'm hoping that they're keeping him, but I think he is gone. I think that would be different. When you look at this is goalie apocalypse, this free agency. We'll talk about it maybe a couple days from now, but every goaltender has changed. I mean, Matt Murray, Henrik Lundqvist, Brian Holtby, Jacob Markstrom, Cam Talbot. The list goes on. There's like a good 10 to 15 notable goaltenders, some who still haven't been signed, who are just like playing, you know, musical chairs with all the different teams. So, not many places are going to have two incredible goaltenders. And as much as I hate to say it, I think he's gone.
It's hard for me to just... So 1 year, I think, is fine. 1 year for Ottinger to wait makes sense. But I don't think Dobby's going to be taken by a young Seattle team that wants to build up, unless they're trying to win now the way Vegas did. But
it worked for Vegas, but it's still working for Vegas.
3 years for a guy who's 21, who is questionably good enough to play in the NHL now, is a long time to wait.
I just don't, especially like, a goaltender, I don't want to see. We talked about that. We don't want to throw him in a situation where he's not going to be successful.
I think he would be successful, though. It's a hard decision, because you're right. He gets to play a lot more, but I feel like he proved himself this year.
He did. But he definitely did. But he needs the playing time.
What happens next year if he plays great? Which I think he will. Then
we have an issue, and then we can use that to fix it. And we trade Dobby. I don't know. And I'm going to go into a rant here in a second as well. I'm tired of people saying, keep Dobby and get rid of Bishop.
That's so stupid.
I'm so... And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's on all the Facebook groups. It's on all the comments on, like, Defending Big D and the Blackout Dallas fan sites. It's on Twitter. And I'm just like, I understand that he took us to the Stanley Cup final, but it's still been Bishop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. A calmer version. So Dobby played outstanding for 2.5 months. That is very true. Ben Bishop has played Vezina quality goaltending
for at least 2 years now.
For two, I think 3 years.
I agree. 3 years.
So, no, we're not going to trade the Vezina goaltender. He is still going to be the starter. We're not going to split the games 50-50 when the season starts. Dobby's the backup.
I've seen that too.
Dobby is the backup. Ben Bishop is our goaltender. He is more consistent, even though y'all don't think he is. He is. He lets in a few goals sometimes, and it's obvious because he's so good. So it's not normal for him to miss an easy one. Dobby is a great goaltender. Should have won the Vezina 2 years ago. Should have been at least a finalist this year. So, no. Dobby is one of the best goaltenders in the league.
Agreed.
He is better than Dobby.
Yep. And I think you just said Dobby is better than Dobby.
Bishop is better than Dobby. There we go.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let's get off of that because we talked about Dobby and Bishop a lot. So we're happy.
I still love you, Dobby.
Yeah, we're happy you're back, but there's also a lot of other stuff in white.
Lots of questions. We have three good goalies right now.
Right. Yep. Which is not a bad thing to have necessarily.
It leads to questions.
Okay. All right. And then, so here's another interesting one that I did not see coming. So the Stars went out and signed from the Florida Panthers, Mark Pasek, and they signed him to an almost league minimum, $750,000 for 1 year. And he is a defenseman. And that's what they want him to do. They want him to be the defenseman. But he has also played on the fourth line as a right winger. So if you go and look at the depth chart on Cap Friendly or whatever, you'll see that it's RW/D.
Never see.
Which you don't. I mean, the only other person I can think of that did that is Dustin Byfuglien. Right? He played a forward for the Hawks, and then he switched to D and then got traded to Winnipeg and stayed on D. But that's an interesting move. What do you think?
It's a classic nil depth move. So I'm hoping, I'm going to be honest, I don't know who this guy is. Okay. But I'm hoping it's a good depth signing, especially for a right D man, which we needed. So he's kind of to replace Johns, not really replace, more backfill, if you will. But he's definitely a defenseman guy. He, I think, is most likely a healthy scratch most nights. But he's our depth guy back there. So we'll see what happens with that. And obviously he did play forward, so maybe weird things could happen with that. I don't know. Nil does good with depth signings, and he has done well, extremely well, the past 3 years. So I have no reason not to trust him on it.
So here's the other question that I just popped in my head. So let's compare this situation to the whole Hudobin-Ottinger situation. So do you think that hurts Harley? Or do you think that Harley, let me ask this question first. Do you think Harley is ready for the NHL right now?
Yeah, I see where that question is coming from. It is a very similar situation. Seems like we're saying to Harley, we don't want you to play yet.
Right.
But
I'm still on the whole leap. Let's put, and I'm still on the same thing, just like Ottinger. So Ottinger needs more playing time. He needs to be the number one goalie in Cedar Park for a year or two. And then Harley needs to stay at that top two pairing at the AHL level so that he gets more playing time.
If Harley is fighting for a sub role, so a seventh D-man spot, then he won't be on the roster. He'll be in the AHL.
I'm talking number five or number six. He's playing with, let's assume he's playing with Sekera.
Sekera, I would bring him up, yes.
Really?
Yeah. But if he shows, so I think what's going to happen in camp is these bottom D men are going to fight for that sixth spot.
And then basically the question is
I think whoever wins it should take it. But if it's a prospect that is second and is in the seventh spot, then you send it back to the AHL to play more. Because we don't care if this depth guy we just signed plays or not, right? We signed him to a league minimum. He's not a prospect. He's going to be our backup, but Harley can still, he's still got skill ceiling to play up to. So
well, and
that's
don't
what
forget,
I think about it.
Well, I mean, we are like defenseman log jammed at this point. So oh, you yeah. got the you got the top four. Okay, I feel like that's pretty solidified, especially Oleksiak at this point. I think he deserves that top four
oh, yeah.
role.
Definitely.
So Sekera, he sucked it up at the beginning, but he's definitely number five. And then number six, you've got all of these players now. So you've got Harley, our best defensive prospect. You've got Mark Pasek now, who we just signed. You've got Joel Hanley, who definitely proved his worth in the playoffs. You've got Taylor Fadun, who a lot of people have been arguing over the past year or so has been better than Andre Sekera. And then, so that's four defensemen that are fighting for that, you know, for that spot.
For the six and seven spots.
And don't forget Stephen Johns, assuming, and we'll talk about him yeah. in just a second. That'll be a perfect segue. But and then Stephen Johns. So that's five defensemen, assuming for that one spot, the number six spot in the Stars' opening night lineup.
There's the development camp fight. I mean, that's what's gonna happen. I bet all five of those guys are on the development camp, and they're gonna fight for that spot. We'll see what happens. Definitely okay. something to watch in the preseason.
Okay, so we talked about him a little bit, but not a ton. So Stephen Johns, I'm super confused, and I'm also super worried. So he was part. I didn't include him as one of those 13 players because I don't really know if he's actually injured or not. That wasn't very clear in the article, but it just said that he didn't feel comfortable playing after a certain period of time in the bubble.
Yeah, so to me that says that
that's
he
red
got,
flags.
Yeah,
that's
to me
huge
that
huge red
yeah.
flags.
To me, that's concussion-like symptoms that he felt again, and he had been warned by doctors multiple times that more concussions could equal brain damage. So I completely understand him not wanting to play anymore for those playoffs because brain damage, obviously, some very serious garbage. So you don't want to mess with that. But right now, I'm not sure what's happening with him. I don't know if he expects to play again, because if he expects to play again, I feel like he would have played again in the playoffs after he like had a minute to see what was going on. But it didn't seem like that was. It didn't seem like he was trying to get back into the game, which is if a hockey player is trying to get back, he's gonna play as soon as he can. So I don't know if he's trying to get bought out so he can still get paid, or I don't know what's happening. I hope that's not the case, but if it is, that's really frustrating for Jim Neal, especially because that's some cap space that he could free up. At the very least, we're going to see him go on long-term injury reserve, I think.
Again.
So, yeah, we'll see what – that's another thing that – we just have to watch because we don't have enough information. We don't know what's going on with that. We don't know if he wants to play. It all depends on if he's trying to play or not.
We're clearly speculating at this point.
Yeah, there's no real way to even speculate about it.
Right.
Right, because we don't know if he wants to play or not.
I mean, he literally could just be like the whole Matt Niskanen thing. Maybe it's just the uncertainty of the economy and the uncertainty of the NHL actually – because like just because we're saying that the NHL is going to come back January 1st, we don't actually know that. There's no set plan. And so that's for another day. But that's why Matt Niskanen retired, the former Dallas Star. He retired and he was in the top two, he was a top two defenseman for the Philadelphia Flyers on a really good team this year. So we may see more of this sort of thing where players just retire, looking at you, Tuukka Rask, just because of the uncertainty of the economy and maybe it's just some other stuff. It's been weird. There's been more players that have been like, yeah, I just don't want to play anymore. And they obviously had more years in them.
Yeah, so I think a global pandemic will give you some perspective sometimes.
it definitely will. All right, we have a lot more to talk about, but we're way over the.
Oh well, last thing, let's talk about the RFAs.
Okay.
RFAs, Foxa, Hints, and Guryanov. There's not really much else to say than they need to be re-signed. Which there is cap space, and Foxa didn't sign the thing that Ryan knows what it's called.
So he did not file for arbitration. So for those of you that don't know how arbitration works, it's basically a player and the GM, they go in front of this dude, this arbitration judge, basically, and they each make an argument to this arbitration judge. And the arbitration judge then decides what the player is worth and what he should be given. And now, and then the team can either agree to take that or not take it. But if they don't take the arbitration judge's decision, then he immediately becomes an unrestricted free agent. So the fact that, I mean, that's very rare that they don't take the arbitration judge's ruling. But the fact that Roddick Foxa did not file for arbitration is a very good thing, which means that contract negotiations between him and the Stars are at least progressing and going well. So that's a very good thing. I would like to see him sign not for a 1 or 2 year deal. I'd like to see at least a 3 year deal, maybe a 4 year deal. Three would be perfect. But yeah, around 3 million. What do you think?
I think around three mil for each of them. I think bridge deals are safer, but they're also dangerous because we have Miro Heiskanen contract ending in 3 years. So that
his is after this season. So
this
he's
season.
Gonna, yeah. He's oh. his I know. Scary. But we're also losing a lot of players that have some big cap hits already.
Yeah, but either way, these three guys, Neil needs to re-sign them pretty much at all costs.
He will.
It seems like he's doing it, especially the arbitration thing is a very good sign that things are going well with all three of them, and I expect to see signing information within a week or two.
So I think Foxa, because he is so useful to the Stars as a third-line center, and as a he does everything. He can do power play. He can do penalty kill. That makes him a very good utility guy. I think he gets $3 million. I know Denis Gurianov led the Stars in goals and everything, but I still don't see how he gets more money than Roddick Foxa. I think he probably gets about 2.5 plus, maybe 2.75.
I can see Gurianov getting 3.
And then I think Hintz will probably get
around 2.
2.25.
Maybe less than 2. It'll be around there.
So basically, I guess what we're saying is with roughly about $10 million in cap space, that's all we've got. So don't expect a huge signing from the
Stars. We're not
getting
Taylor Hall. Quit talking about it.
Yeah, I know, right? people don't really understand how the whole cap situation works.
Yeah.
Now, I have heard some rumors and seen some things that Radulov may be being shopped around, which that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, and it hasn't been a lot of people. Not like the OEL stuff, the Oliver Ekman-Larsson trade rumors that he was going to go to Vancouver or Boston or whatever. Nothing like that big, because that was everywhere. But there just been like one or two, you know, media members that have said that they've heard that Radulov may be moved to make some cap room, because honestly, at his cap hit at $6 million, that's a lot of money. And so if I don't think he's gonna do it because Nil is I like where our team is.
Well, like it's a dumb thing to do right after you go to the Stanley Cup final. But
right,
that would definitely be the blockbuster trade of the offseason if Radulov gets moved and we sign someone else, so
yeah, but
that would be crazy. I put the probability at like 5%.
Very low. And even at $6 million, even if we trade him, we're not getting Taylor Hall.
Yeah, you're still not getting
Alex
Taylor Hall.
No, you're not going to get anybody like that. So just expect there not to be so much Stars news after this. Now, there is one other thing that I wanted to mention that I thought was very strange. So he qualified those three guys, right? So he qualified Hintz, Giryanov, and Foxa. I mean, that's no surprise out of those three. But he also qualified Joel Lesperance.
I'm fine with that.
Is that weird?
He's played fine to me. He still has potential to be a bottom six guy. He skates hard. He's pretty fast. But
I just don't think we have any room for him. I mean, the way that the stars are stacked up now, and it's not his fault. It's not the stars' fault. It's just how it's happened. There's not really any.
He is the first one out if we're out of room.
I think definitely.
There's no way we're signing Lesperance, and we're not signing one of those other three. So I think that's a non-story.
Now, all right. So, and then here's one more thing I wanted to mention, and I know we
the third one more thing.
The third one more thing. Yeah, we keep talking about all these RFAs. A name we haven't heard in a while. Julius Honka. I've seen things that he is interested in coming back to the Stars. Now, I don't think he's coming back this season, and I think the signing of Mark Pasek was the, you know, okay, he's not coming. There were some rumors that he was interested in coming back, but after that signing, I don't think that's happening. So, shoot, who knows? Maybe next season he comes back and he's a puck moving defenseman, and we
traitor.
All know that. We all know that he likes that Nil likes puck moving defensemen. So, we'll see how that goes in the future. So, okay, let's end it at that.
We're done.
Y'all get an hour length podcast for today. Thank you guys for listening to Starcaster Remarks, the only Dallas Stars fan led podcast. We'll be back in a couple of days or so to talk about the trades and the rest of the free agency signings going on in the NHL. You can follow us.
We're expecting once a week during the off season, yeah?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Just for a little while. So
we'll get a regular schedule later.
Yeah. We needed a little bit of a break. So anyways, you can follow us on Twitter at StarcasticR, follow us on our Facebook page, Starcastic Remarks, and you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, comment down below, and you can let us know how stupid we are or how intelligent and smart we are. And then you can also find us wherever you get your podcasts. It's the off season, and we're closer to the season than we think. Only it's about 4 months. Thank you guys for tuning in. Everyone have a good night, and we'll see you on the flip side.